Thank you, Mitrand Namahata. Radishan, in whose house we are. So Namahata means marketplace of the holy name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came up with this idea that that Nityananda had opened up a transcendental marketplace, and that there was a major storehouse, and that there was a whole administration. You couldn't just get it for nothing. The holy name was available for faith. Some would go into the marketplace and pay counterfeit money. Okay? But they would also immediately get a counterfeit name. They would not get the real thing. So those who didn't actually buy into it completely, they never got the pure quality. Yodinam kinbevai. Yodinam kinbevai. Alma sangachala mahajanir kachijai. So if you want to buy the holy name, then come with me to this Mahajan, this Nityananda Mahajan, and there we will buy it for the price you have to pay. So what is this faith that we are speaking about? Is it about saying, I'm a believer? No, it's not that one. It's not that type of faith. It's another type. It's the type where actions speak louder than words. It is the type where we don't care what you say, we care what you do, and you prove it by your actions that you are ready to put Krishna first. If you put Krishna first, then you can purchase the name. Otherwise, you don't get it. What you get is music. What you get is a beat. What you get is a melody. But you won't get the name. The magic of the whole event will pass you by. The name, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Sudanicha Mukto Abhinatvam Nami Namino. That name is Chintamani. Chintamani means it's touchstone. The touchstone, we know that in ancient times there were sages who knew the art, which is now forgotten, where they kept stones and whatever they touched with that stone will turn into gold. Yes, Chintamani. Whatever they would touch would turn into gold. Touchstone. But Chintamani is not that kind of touchstone. Chintamani is the touchstone that whatever gets touched by it, that is material, will become spiritual. This is the key. This is the secret. No one knows. Here in the material world, that we know. And in the material world, it's a struggle for survival. Survival for the fittest. Everyone knows. That's the material world. Somehow or other, you have to stay ahead in the material world. That's the way it is. You calculate, you make your arrangements, and everything is under control. We hope. The material world. But the spiritual world is very different. In the material world, everything is bound by time. And because everything is bound by time, everything will one day stop to exist, whatever it is. This is the problem. Because we have so many things we would like to keep, but one day everything in this world stops to exist. That is the nature of the material world. So really we're fighting the influence of time. Maintenance, repairs, somehow or other, keep it going, security, whatever it takes, to stop the influence of destruction which is there in the material world. Go to the gym. Raja lost at least 15 kilos. I think it deserves a mention. 15 is a lot, Raja. So go to the gym and try to keep in shape. So constantly we are working like that, trying to maintain what we have. That is the material world. So in the material world, if you look at it, really, our struggle is with time. All throughout our life, it's time that is the real opponent. We're facing time. Time, I am the destroyer of worlds, Krishna says. Karusmi loka ksayakrit. So that is the material world. Leave that for what it is. The spiritual world, there is no time. There's no time. Time is absent in the material world. It's not limited by time, the spiritual world. It said the spiritual world is not limited by space. Like here, we are sort of packed in between the walls, right? And there is a few who are behind the walls because it's just packed right now. Space, limited by space. The material world is also limited by thought. What can you know? Do you know what's going to come tomorrow? No, no. So here, thought, it's limited by thought and everything. Yeah? We just don't know. We can't figure it out. No matter how smart you are, it's limited. We are limited by our thought. That's material. Spiritual world is not like that. In the spiritual world, there is no time. In the spiritual world, space is not an issue. Space will adjust to the need. Simply. Simple like that. When Krishna, in the morning, leaves for the forest, he has with him unlimited cows and unlimited calves and unlimited cowherd boys, and they enter onto the narrow forest path. I mean, and there are no traffic jams. So how is it possible? Because somehow or other, in the spiritual world, space is not an issue. Not an issue. In the spiritual world, time is not an issue. Not an issue. In the spiritual world operates only on one thing, and that is taste. It operates completely on taste. It's about ras, it's about taste, it's about increasing that taste somehow or other. And all the arrangements are for that and nothing else. So it's a different world. By the touchstone of the holy name, if it is chanted purely with faith, if it is chanted with the faith in the words of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells what he wants. Patram svam phalam toyam yome bhakti priyachiti. He said, yagya sistatinu santa muchante sarva kilbisa. He said, whatever you eat, it must be yagyasista. It must be remnants of sacrifice. It first must be offered to me. You cannot eat anything that is not offered to me. Rule number one. And then the second thing is, you can offer me a fruit, a flower, a leaf, and some water, and such kind of things. clearly, vegetarian items. So in this way, the Bhagavad Gita gives us a way of life. The Bhagavad Gita says, Kamusmi Bharatar Sabah. It is said that sexual activity is all right. He said, but it is blessed by me, Krishna says, when it is following religious principles. And they are further explained in the Manu Samhita that basically sexuality is not a sport. Many think that it's part of the Olympics, right? And that it's a big sport in this world, with the Olympic Games being held in cities like Amsterdam, where the world unites, right, for the Olympic sex games. But sex is not a sport. It is not a sport. It is not according to the Manu Samhita. It has a purpose. But it is said that when man and woman unite in sexual activity, and there is a conception that depending on the consciousness that the parents have, a certain child will be attracted. And it's a Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. And I pick up someone by the side of the road. And, well, some sporting in the back of the car. And what do you attract? According to scriptures, it says, Adharma bibhavat Krishna pradushyanti kula striya stri sadusta suvarsneya jayate varnasankara. It said when, in this kind of Saturday night scenario, what happens is Varna Sankara takes birth. Now, what is Varna Sankara? What is this name Sankara doing in this explanation? Varna means a class of men, and Sankara is referring to Lord Shiva. Why is this? It is said because Lord Shiva is very merciful, and Lord Shiva, he rides through the sky on his bull. And Lord Shiva is followed by many creatures, lower creatures, ghosts and hobgoblins, whatever they are. I've never met one. I also hope not to, particularly. It's okay. But such kind of creatures, right? And it says, these creatures, when the consciousness of the parents is low at the time of conception, then such creatures take birth. Such creatures, what happens is the male and the female secretions, they mix, and then this soul enters. And if the consciousness is low, then one of those will enter. So, Kamusmi Bharatar Sabah, therefore it says in Bhagavad Gita, sex life according to religious principles. So Shraddha or faith, the price to pay for getting the holy name, means that we actually must follow the injunctions of the Gita. That's Shraddha. Not lest I'm a believer, no. Sorry, that's the opera. Yeah? We are not impressed by sentiment. Oh, Krishna. Krishna, oh Krishna, I love you so much. Hare Krishna. We are not impressed. We are not. Actions speak louder than words. We want to see your faith in the Bhagavad Gita, in the words of Krishna. That if we follow the words of Krishna as given in the Gita, that the result will be happiness. Oh, who's ready to pay that price? Who is paying today? Yodinam kinbebai Amar sanga chalo nicha Mahajanir kacha jai. If you want to buy the holy name, come with me and I'll take you to Nityananda where it is available. Yes. Anyone is welcome. Anyone. So this holy name is like that.
that although it purifies everyone, anyone who hears the name, even if the name is not chanted purely, even if the name is chanted without any faith, still one gets purified. It is said that even the animals get purified, the birds get purified, the stones start melting. Everyone gets purified by the name. But that is what we get then is not the pure name. Then we only get Nam Abbas. Nam Abbas means the dim reflection of the name. The dim reflection of the name is for everyone. That anyone can get. And it will purify us. Excuse me. It will purify us from all bad karma. All suffering will disappear. Even if you chant the holy name accidentally, even if you chant it somehow or other, you'll get free from suffering by this chanting. Also, it frees us from birth and death. So if it's chanted with faith or not, doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But okay. To be free from suffering, to get liberation from birth and death. That's not interesting. That's not interesting. What is interesting is to chant the name with faith. To pay the price. To change one's life. Faith means, okay, change your life. Completely. Yes, not little, little. I am trying. No, no. I'm trying means I'm not doing. Yeah. Can you pay me the money back? I'm trying. Will you take that answer? Listen, you know, you pay me back now. I'm trying. Hey, you know, that's not good enough. I want the cash now, you know, in my hand, right? When we talk about money, then an answer like I'm trying would not be satisfactory. The outstanding accounts, as chartered accountant, outstanding accounts, we're trying. doesn't fly in any company, yeah. Security, yes, we're trying. No, trying is not what it's about. It's about actually doing. So manushyanam sahasresu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschimam vati tattvata. Out of many thousands amongst men, hardly one is endeavoring for perfection. And out of those who are endeavoring for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So many people are coming, and they are also chanting, and they are also doing something. But actually very few get serious. So serious that they say, all right, I put my faith in Krishna. Some of you have seen my theater about faith. Some of you have not seen. I will perform it for those who have not seen. And for those who have seen, I will perform it again.
Okay.
It's been raining a lot this year. And we've had all the pots and pans in the room because the roof has been leaking like anything. And today is a lovely day. So today, I will fix the roof myself. Yeah. So anyway, ho-ho, it's up here. Ho-ho. Anyway, hammering away. Ooh, sliding down. Last minute, oh my God, I'm saved. I've got the edge of the roof, I'm saved. Unfortunately, I didn't go to the gym. Trying to pull myself up, but I cannot actually get myself back on this roof. Oh, what do I do now? Oh, what do I do? Oh God,
Please save me. Need any help? Who are you?
I am God.
Oh God, please save me.
All right. Just let go of the roof and I will catch you.
Can't you catch me first? Then I'll let go of the roof.
Thank you very much.
What can we?
Yes. So who are we? Who are we? We say, catch me first. Give me the happiness first. Then I'll surrender everything. No. But as long as we are not putting our faith in Krishna, faith means that we believe that if we follow Krishna, that all happiness will be attained. Forget everything else. Faith means that where you think your happiness is. If you think it's in the money, then you will be doing everything to get it. Everything. If you think it's in power, you'll enter into politics. If you think it is in beauty, then you spend hours in front of the mirror. Oh God. Yes. Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Drek.
No, but leaving the jokes aside, the point is this, that wherever our faith is, wherever we think that happiness will be found, that is where our faith will be. And we invest accordingly. Yeah. And therefore, if we believe that our happiness is with Krishna and nowhere else, then, and we are ready to act upon the desire of Krishna, and then follow what he says in the Gita. Give up a few things. How can I give this up? I can give it up because Krishna asks, then I give it up. Because I trust that whatever he wants for me will bring me happiness. Shraddha sapta visvas kahe sudrida nischai Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hai. The definition of shraddha, or faith, is that we have the firm conviction that by surrendering to Krishna, all good will come. Sarva karma krita hai. All benefits will be attained. See? Shastra. That's what it says. So if we simply adjust our lives according to that, then we are ready to purchase the name. Not only the dim reflection of the name that will cure us from suffering and from gives us liberation from birth and death, but then we will get the name that will make us enter into the spiritual realm. Iha yasya rirdashe karma namana sagira nikila swapi avastusu jivan muktisu uchate. That even in this life, while we are in this world, while we are in this body, when we become purified by chanting the holy name, we can already perceive the spiritual world. We can already enter into the spiritual world. It is possible for the great souls. Chintamani prakara satmasuka puriksha laksavritesa surabhira vipaliyantam. Then we can appreciate what Chintamani is. The spiritual world where Krishna resides, where everything centers around taste. There is only one taste. Rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhakti uchita. The pleasure of Krishna. Not our pleasure. That's this world. My world. Atmindriya priti vanchadara bolikam. Krishnindriya priti chadara premanam.
My senses. My senses. My senses. That's lust. And that belongs in this domain. Krishnendriya Prithivansa. Krishna's senses. Somehow or other, satisfy Krishna's senses. Ah, can I make an offering to Krishna? Yes, you can. One day, there was a man just like me today speaking in a public lecture about Krishna. And he was describing the glories of Krishna, and he was saying how Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. And not only that, he was describing how Krishna is decorated with many jewels. He says he has like jewels in his turban. He wears a huge jewel on his chest. And he has like very expensive bracelets and really opulent earrings. In this way, Krishna. So when in the audience there was a thief, and as a thief, just out of professional habit, you know, automatically he was calculating the value of everything he heard. You know, he had a full description, jewel like this. And every thief, right? Every thief has a dream, right? Thieves, they steal anything they can steal. But every thief has a dream that one day, you'll get the big catch. You know what I mean? You'll get that one catch where, you know, you've made it for life. That's a thief's dream, you know, like just somewhere like a plane load full of gold. like just that one catch, you know, where you got it made for life. Right? That's a thief's dream. So this thief, when he heard the number of decorations, his mind automatically calculated, you know, this is it. And he said to himself, I have to meet this Krishna. So afterwards he went to the speaker and he said, that Krishna you were talking about, where can I meet him? Oh, said the speaker, you can meet him on the side of Govardhan. Okay, where's Govardhan? So he got descriptions where Govardhan was, and if anyone wants descriptions where Govardhan is, I can tell them. And then he went. Our thief went to Govardhan. He's looking everywhere. Then, there was no. He saw him. Jewels everywhere. There was no doubt about it. Are you Krishna? Yes. Give me those jewels. Krishna said, no, I can't do that. I can't give you those jewels. Mother Yasoda will be extremely upset. No, he said, like, look, guy, no messing around here. Give the jewels, right? So Krishna gave all the jewels, right? So then our thief, he had all the jewels. And then it went through his mind. I've got it made. Now I can do anything I want. And then he was thinking, what do I want? And then he's thinking, what am I going to do with all these jewels? And then he saw Krishna. And suddenly he became so attracted to Krishna. And then he was thinking, maybe I should offer these jewels to Krishna. And then he said, would it be all right if I offer you these jewels? Krishna said, yes, it's okay. Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, can I decorate you with these jewels? Krishna said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then he began, you know, jewels. And in this way, he decorated Krishna with all the jewels. And that night, Krishna came home, and Mother Yasoda, she said, but what is this?
You are all decorated. I didn't do it like that. Who did that? Krishna said, oh, my devotee. My devotee did that. So ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna. The best thing you can do is do something with Krishna, is offer something to Krishna. That's the best. What else are you going to do? You know, work like a dog, get your paycheck, go home and offer it to some lady? Or the other? That's all right, you know. But there is something higher for the lady also, offer it. We offer it to Krishna. That's the best thing you can do. Anything, anything. That's the secret. No one knows in the world. And people don't believe it. Even if I say it now, they don't believe me. They have no faith. They think, yeah. The priest was talking like anything. That's what priests do, right? They don't believe. But those who believe, they can actually buy the pure name from Nityananda. And then, through that chanting, those who adjust their lives according to the will of Krishna, as he explained in the Gita, they become eligible to chant the pure name. And then they'll very quickly advance towards the spiritual world. Then so many things become possible. Spiritual world is a place of fun. There, in the spiritual world, Krishna lives eternally with his devotees. And they are engaged in... No one is working in the spiritual world. No one has a job. Mm-mm. There are no factories in the spiritual world. No. In the spiritual world... It's all about fun. It's about, of course, there are cows, but even these cows, they just, oceans of milk are coming from these cows, and they don't go sour. The spiritual world is not a boring place. That's quite clear. So, yeah. Shraddha Bindu, just a drop of faith. It's all is needed. Just a drop. Shraddha Bindu. Then it can be done. But it's for the courageous. Because most hang on the edge of the roof and will say, Well, you could catch me first. Why not? Right? We'd rather have both securities, you know, at the same time. Hold on to what we have, right? and then, okay, give me some spiritual experience, and then I will. Then I'll give you more, Krishna. For sure, no problem. No, I promise. But Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Dharmam Paricha Yamanakam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papevyo Mokshay Shami Masucha. He says, abandon everything, just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from your sinful reactions. Do not fear. Well, we are afraid like anything. We fear. I have to let go of my roof? No. Okay, any questions? Any comments?
Thank you so much. According to your play, I want to know that are we allowed to go on the roof intentionally to test if Krishna was precious before?
Are we allowed to go on the roof intentionally to test if Krishna will catch us? Yes, you are. Yes. Oh, yes. In fact, we even challenge you. Come on the roof. Yeah. There is a yoga ladder. There's a yoga ladder. So you take your you take the yoga ladder and you put that against the roof. At the bottom of the yoga ladder is karma yoga. That's the first step. Karma yoga means that you do the things that you like and that are at the same time allowed by Krishna, and then you offer them to Krishna. For example, if you like singing, then you can sing, but now sing for Krishna. If you like to drive, okay, then now you drive, but for Krishna. If you like to dance, then you can dance for Krishna. If you like to cook, cook for Krishna and his devotees, like that. So in the beginning you do what you like, but for Krishna, and the things that are authorized. That's karma yoga, that's the beginning of the ladder. So you first do that. It's your first step of the ladder. Then the second step of the ladder is that you understand that you're not this body. That you understand that you're eternal spirit soul. This is jnana yoga. Jnana yoga. So when you know, when you learn this for sure, you remember this. I'm not the body. I'm eternal spirit soul. And then finally you come to bhakti yoga. And there you know, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And then you step onto the roof. And there you're on the roof. And now there's so many holes in the roof. The holes in the roof are due to our poor quality chanting. See, we chant, we murmur, we chant inattentively. That's why there are holes in the roof. So when we try to fix the holes in the roof and chant attentively, then it gets better. But then, even if we chant attentively, it's still not enough. That's a technique. You know, to chant nicely and hear it, that's only technique. You have to chant with faith, you see. You can chant as attentively as you like, but if you don't chant with faith, it's still not enough. And therefore, you'll one day slip and be hanging on the roof, and then your faith will be tested. It will be tested. That you say, yes, I'm ready to adjust my life according to the will of Krishna. And then chant. Together with that, then everything will become amazing. Then everything will become magic. So we challenge you. Get up the ladder, if you dare. Yes, sir.
Guru, with regards to experiencing the happiness of Krishna, is it perhaps possible to fully know him and then perhaps make the choice to surrender to him?
No.
Perhaps read about him or...
Yes, you can know something. Something we must know. To make, you know, a blind leap, completely blind, is very difficult. So we need to explore a little bit and know more about Krishna. But you cannot fully know him. You will only know something, little, on the surface. But that should be enough. Even something, knowing about Krishna, is making sense. You see, look at it like this. The world is extremely complex. Right? That nature has so many varieties and so many things. Do you think that all came about by chance? It's difficult to believe. Difficult to believe. One mathematician did a chance calculation. And he did a lot of work for insurance companies doing chance calculations, right, by mathematics. And he did it, and he calculated the chance that a God would exist, considering, you know, that there is a design and all these things. And so he followed They use the normal computer programs and the normal factors that they use, you know, in insurance calculations. And he came to 67%. 67% chance that God exists. Not bad. Not bad for a mathematician. Quite okay. So it's even to an ordinary person, right? I mean, it's quite logical that there might be something behind this world, that it's not just come about by chance. Yes? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then the second step is, look around in this world. Everyone has personality. See a room full with personalities. They're all different. Some have glasses, some have mustaches, some are skinny, some are tall, and so on. Personalities we see here. So everywhere in the creation, all living beings have personality. So do you think the Creator has personality? If in his creation there is personality, it's logical that within him there is also personality. So, if God is a person, right, do you think he's an old man?
I think God has no age.
Huh?
I think he has no age.
Well, you know, like, but so many think he's an old man, no? You've seen these paintings of a God, like, old, sour, you know. Really old. Oh, and then there's some sinners down there, thunderbolt for this rascal. Really suffering too much. No, if God is almighty, why would he be old? He's a person. He would be young, fresh. If you were God, would you be ugly? Yeah, that's right. So Krishna is ever fresh. Krishna is young. Krishna is always young. Huh? At the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna is driving the chariot for Arjuna. At that time, Krishna is 125 years old. But he's not like called, oh, Krishna! Wait! Wait! No. He's young, he's fresh. Yes. He's always fresh. So, the more you hear about Krishna, the more it makes sense. Krishna's young, Krishna's fresh, Krishna's beautiful. So the more we hear about Krishna, all his qualities sound just like the qualities of God. If I would be God, I would have qualities like Krishna. So Krishna makes sense. So by hearing about Krishna, we develop some faith and say, all right, it sounds worth it. Then you hear about the teachings of Krishna. And you hear that Krishna is teaching non-violence. Makes sense, because, you know, I don't like people to be violent towards me. Yeah? So why would I be violent towards others then? Yeah. So non-violence makes sense. And gradually you'll see that all the principles that Krishna is teaching in the Bhagavad Gita are noble principles. So then you say, Krishna as a person, the way he looks, the way he is makes sense. Krishna's teachings make sense. The whole package makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. That's the beginning of faith. And at that stage, you can take the first step on the ladder. So, okay, let me try and offer something to Krishna and see what will happen. And let's do what I can do, you know. I happen to be a drummer, then drum, or keyboard player, then. You see? So then you can take the first step. not on full knowledge, but on the initial knowledge, on the understanding that there is a package, a cohesive package that makes sense.
This next one is well out of your topic or what you were talking about, but it's with regard to the spiritual world. It's basically has to do with hell, the term hell. From my understanding, from reading all other holy books, I've come to think that hell is not, how can I put this, hell is not a place.
Well, that's
I would say hell is a condition where the soul doesn't return to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. That's also true. Here is already hell. This is hell. Because here we are already in a condition where we're separated from Krishna, so it is hell. Nicely decorated hell. I'm sorry to call your house a nicely... I don't mean it like that, but you know what I mean? This world is already hell, and there are worse places in this, in the material world. There are planets in this universe that are better, and there are planets that are worse. Also, we're not in the worst place right now. There are worse places where people are in this world, isn't it? So there are worse hells, but we're already in hell, in the material world. You understand? Because we're already separated from Krishna, and that's why we're suffering. When a child takes birth, is the child coming out and singing, "Mommy, I love you"? Huh? What's the first thing children do? He knows very well. And they do it for a long time, also. Isn't it? So they're suffering. They're suffering. So it's hell. And there is worse hell than this. And that's a physical place. There are lower planets than this planet. A physical place.
I mean, when they described it as fiery, and I thought perhaps it was the severity of the separation.
No, there are places where there's even physical suffering like that, of extreme heat and so on, but it's not eternal. That part's wrong. There's no eternal hellish condition. But there are lower planets which are worse than this one. And there are higher planets which are better than this one in the universe.
So they're all physical, as in if you end up on that planet, you are still, will experience the birth, old age, disease, and death.
Yes.
And then you move on to the next one.
Yes.
Depending on your activities.
Yes. Yeah, so sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. This is sort of in the middle. We're midway. From here you can go down, or you can go up. But it's not good enough. We want to get out of here, back to the spiritual world. Is everyone still with us?
Okay, this last one is somewhat principle of me, meaning to understand. I asked a friend of mine at school, she was busy drawing a sketch there. Then I asked her if she perhaps had an eraser back in high school in her pencil case. And she said yes. And I said, why did she have the eraser there? She said, in case she makes a mistake. And I told her, whenever I draw, I don't keep an eraser because it's like I'm not expecting to make the mistake there. So it's like when she has that eraser there, she draws knowing that if she makes a mistake, she can just take the eraser and have it there.
No.
I've been meaning to understand that principle there, because it's like if the eraser is not there, then there's small chance of a mistake there.
Mistakes depends on your value system. Right?
Children, when they draw, they don't have any erasers and they don't see any mistakes. Whatever they draw is perfect. Right? Nothing wrong with it. Finished. Yeah? It's beautiful. It's exactly as it should be. As simple as that. But then, later, when a value system comes in, when we start with a value system, then we say, you know, this is right, this is wrong, and so on. We measure the drawing by a value system. So she's measuring the drawing by some value system, and accordingly she's determining that her mistakes are no mistakes, and she's erasing, and so on. You may have another value system in the drawings that you make, and therefore you don't see mistakes. Now, there are two types of value systems. Relative value systems, everyone has his own idea. Like, you know, there are artists, they just, they take the paint can and just like throw it against the wall and it's perfect. And others, they spend hours with a brush trying to, you know, make someone's face. So that's all relative standards, you know, relative ideas. My inspiration, your inspiration, all different inspiration. But then there is one absolute standard, the standard of Krishna. So we measure everything by that standard. We measure everything by, is it useful for Krishna? Then it's good. Otherwise it's a mistake. So any drawing that is made that is not useful for Krishna, the whole drawing should be erased. It's a useless drawing. But drawings that are useful for Krishna, well, there you don't have to erase anything. They're perfect. You see the point? So good and bad in anything, in drawing or in anything, our standard of good and bad is it useful for Krishna? Useful for Krishna, then it's good. he can't stop. Okay, this is your last one, then ask someone else. A
couple of months back, my grandfather tried to explain karma to me. And he said, perhaps an example would be that if there's a really bad criminal, and perhaps he does bad all his life, he kills and maybe he rapes and maybe he does all these sorts of things.
A bad criminal who does bad his whole life, then?
And then perhaps at a later stage in his life, he just clicks and then there's a consciousness there that just ticks in him. And it's like from that moment there, he realizes that there's something behind all of this day, perhaps life itself. And then when he realizes that that's when karma comes into play, and then he sort of suffers for all that he's done, all his life there. And then he can be perfect.
Yeah. You know, if we cause so much suffering to others by our actions, then we will also suffer. And through that suffering we will learn something. It cuts us down, cuts down our pride, and we will also realize. Sometimes a person will be conscious of what he has done and repent, and other times he will not be conscious and not repent, but he'll still get reactions. Those who are conscious, they are learning quicker. They'll learn quicker. Those who are conscious, what I've done is wrong, they may still go through suffering, but they learn quick. Those who are not conscious that what I've done is wrong, they'll suffer and it will take longer for them to learn. That's all.
But it's like if perhaps the one who has not suffered perhaps dies, I figured that's when reincarnation comes in and then he comes like
yes, this. Yes. You're right. Then reincarnation comes in and he has to suffer in the next life. And that's why we see that in this world there are differences. Some are born in
nice, in a nice family, everything is nice, nice, and others, they suffer from their childhood. Understand? Something from the past. Not that that makes it good, but it does explain it. Because otherwise, how can you explain it? How can there be a God who is good when you see that people take birth in suffering conditions? But if they've brought it upon themselves, which is a heavy thing to swallow when it happens to you. Oh. But so a devotee accepts that I have done so many things, and that's why I'm suffering. So a devotee takes responsibility for his own... He says, okay, I've brought this suffering upon myself by my own misdeeds. That's devotee. Does anyone else have a question? Otherwise it becomes a monologue. Let's just see in the back. Anyone behind the glass? Otherwise the time is also going on. I think it's 9:15. Maybe we should give a signal to the kitchen that they should sort of get things ready to go. Isn't it? Isn't it a good time? I think we don't want to make it very, very late. I don't know what your normal schedule. Huh? Huh?
Friday night, flexible.
South Africa security.
I just wanted to ask a question about chanting. As a person who's chanted for many years, if you do focus, when you do focus and you chant with faith, did it ever happen to you maybe that you had some sort of strange feeling and you, like your head just vibrations sort of, and you felt as if you had sort of like a headache, but it wasn't painful, but it was sort of. You know, it's unexplainable.
All right. Did everyone hear that? He's talking about chanting and did it ever happen to you in all those years of chanting that you had some sort of vibrating in the head, some strange...
But it's like, I think it's after chanting. And
yeah, yeah. Well, okay, you know, like through chanting... One may get different experiences, and sometimes those experiences may seem to be a little mystic. Right? What you're describing is a little mystic, like a mystic experience. Yes, some people have some sort of mystic experience on chanting, but. That's only a step on the way, not considered so important. That may happen or may not happen, but it's not considered so important. What really is going to happen is you're going to see Krishna, you're going to perceive Krishna more and more. First you're going to see Krishna's hand in everything, right? And more you will see Krishna. Some devotees sometimes may even have an experience, you know, that they perceive Krishna, advanced devotees, or some special mercy from Krishna. But ultimately this chanting will make you see Krishna and it will make you see the spiritual world, actually. So in the initial stages you get these kind of more mystic experience, but beyond it is something else. And you get a glimpse of the spiritual world.
I tell you what, I'm asking this question because I had a point where I had that stage, where I had that feeling, and it was for quite a few weeks. It was coming and going, and I thought maybe I should stop.
Yeah.
You know, and wait and see if it dies out. And sometimes when I chant, it goes away, and then I feel in a different level.
Yes. Well. I think we must learn how to chant, and that one way of chanting See, I think it's really time for prasadam. It's like the kids are getting restless. So with this, I'll just round it off, and then I'll start 5 minutes kirtan while the kitchen is in action.
It's a buffet, and they're ready whenever you come.
Okay. So I think that this we must learn to chant in the mode of goodness. If we chant in the mode of goodness, then we chant in a peaceful way. And we're not stressing ourselves. If we chant in the mode of passion, like pushing ourselves too much, then the chanting becomes stressful. And sometimes people get stress symptoms while chanting. Yeah? And they don't feel quite happy about chanting, then they want to stop with chanting. So one must learn to chant in goodness, in a very peaceful, relaxed way. And then those stress symptoms will not arise in the chanting. That's what I think.
I think maybe a bit of passion.
Maybe. That's normal. You know, no one is above that. I have seen people chanting, you know, like, and I'm just looking at them thinking like, God, you know, you must be finished, you know. 16 rounds of that, you know. It's like, that's too much. 16 rounds of that, you're finished. Some people are serious, like the things you see, you know, that people do while they're chanting, it's incredible.